Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. I want to get it. Oh, look at my face. My name is Maya. My name is Maya.
Good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and I hope everyone's doing well in this chilly evening. I'm ready to go.
Yes, very chilly. Yeah, fall has arrived. No more hot sun, no more hotness. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I really don't know. But, you know, if it'll get a flu shot, get a flu shot.
I like a little of both.
Yeah, well, I prefer the heat. Not the humidity, the heat. Because where I'm from is warm weather 24/7. So, on the top of the show tonight, House District 15 in New Mexico is up for grabs. Jay Hopeman Vigil is an incumbent. She's a Democrat. She's a very good person. And if you want to contribute and you want to sign up if you live in New Mexico, go to www.anewdayfornm.com. Help her out. She's a good person. Donate to her. You know, and she racked up several endorsements. She's on Wikipedia, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, her name is Day Hopman V. Hill, and she's going to win again. It's a conservative district that Donald Trump won, but, you know, people love her. She's charismatic. She's genuine. She's done well for the district, and I foresee her winning again in 2022 this November. Yes, man. So, what's up, Lori?
Oh, goodness. So, what's up today? Well, let's first talk about what happened in Italy, because it sort of missed what's going on in this country. As we know, I don't know if everyone has heard or not, but Giorgia Meloni, who is a far-right
fascist.
She's in the far-right fascist movement. She won the election in Italy. I was very surprised, I'll be honest with you. Now, the thing is about Italy, explain one thing. There are actually three governments in Italy. There is, of course, the government of Italy, which is now going to be a fascist government. I don't know how that's going to work out, because it's been almost 100 years since, you know, they've been a democracy. But then there's the Vatican, which has its own government, if you understand what I'm saying about that. And then there is San Marino, where my family and we are all from. And San Marino is a republic in Italy, and it has its own government. And it is not, it is a democracy. They have regents, and it's more of like almost like a monarchy, but it's a small section, portion of Italy, and So they will not be affected by this, and I'm very happy about that. But I'm very sad to hear that history is basically repeating itself, and that's sickening. And I'm just going to read one thing. I want people to understand what fascism is, because I don't know if everybody really understands. So I'm just going to read the definition of fascism, and then we can go from there. Fascism, a way of organizing a society in which a government ruled by a dictator controls the lives of the people, and in which people are not allowed to disagree with the government. So in other words, your free speech is gone. And if this is the way that, you know, people want to live in Italy, which I find it very hard to believe. I mean, I've been there two times in my life, and it breaks my heart.
And even family, family there, yes.
And I have family there, yes. But they are in San Marino, so they will not be affected by this. But in maybe some ways they will. I truly don't know. And I haven't spoken to them yet, but I plan on doing that. So an example of fascism will include the, you know, the German Nazi party. We have the Italian fascist party with Mussolini, who was eventually murdered, and as well as a Spanish nationalist. Now, we don't want to go down this road again, do we? Do we, David?
No, because America seemed like it's heading in that direction. You had January 6th insurrection. That was just a dry run, basically, for 2024 or even 2022, because as we're seeing District 9 in Michigan, the incumbent there, Lisa McLean, saying that if she loses, that means the vote was robbed. She was robbed. The voting system was rigged. And it's a deep red district in Michigan. And if she was doing her job, she had none to worry about. If she was doing her job, she would be trying to debate her challenger, Brian Jay, the Democrat, the nominee for 2022. But she's running away scared. She have corporate interests backing her. She have her own money. Yeah. She's a millionaire. She was a bank president and owner before she ran. She's a Trumper. You know, so, I mean, all these Trumpers were in different positions. And that's why it's very important that, you know, elect somebody like in New Mexico, Deyande Hopman V. Hill, you know. Because,
absolutely.
I mean, when you think extreme right, then things go to hell. Yeah. We've been seeing that for years, you know.
Absolutely.
So I have a clip here, a two-minute clip of new right-wing Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. She claimed victory in the country's election, and her party, the Brothers of Italy, make up the majority. And this was her victory speech. It's a two-minute clip.
Okay.
It was the small hours of the morning before she came out to celebrate, but Giorgia Meloni was energized by victory, and she promised to unite her country.
It seems clear to me that what came out from the first projection is that Italians in these general elections have expressed a clear indication that they want a centre-right government led by Brothers of Italy.
The party, the Brothers of Italy, is now the biggest and will lead a right-wing coalition government.
If we will be called to govern this country, we will do it for all Italians. For everybody, with the goal of uniting this people, of stressing what unites rather than what divides.
Meloni doesn't look, sound, or act like most Italian politicians, and that's probably what got her elected.
4 years ago, the Brothers of Italy got just 4% in the last general election, and Giorgia Meloni, look, there's a big point where our time has changed. It's now poised to become the country's first woman prime minister, and certain to play a leading role in the world's political stage.
She has tried to add humour to her campaign, but there are plenty worried about the future. The coalition will include two of Italy's most controversial leaders, Matteo Salvini, far-right head of the Peace Party,
and Silvio Berlusconi, now nearly 86 years old, but still an influential, outspoken showman. The turnout in this election was desperately low. Italy wants fresh ideas. Meloni's supporters savoured their victory with noise and energy. But winning power was one thing. Using it will be quite another challenge. Adam Parsons, Sky News, Rome.
Yep, so there you have it. Giorgia Meloni is new prime minister. Yes, and we will see a repeat of 2016 where Donald Trump surprised everybody. Well, he didn't win. Russia helped him. And, you know, I would have still won.
I wonder if Russia helped Italy as well. I know they got their vaccine from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad to say that San Marino got their vaccine when the COVID was going on because they couldn't get it elsewhere in time. And it was called the Sputnik. It was called the Sputnik vaccine, which made me laugh, but that's what it was called. Also, I want to say something else about San Marino, that they have a lot of people from Russia that work in San Marino. So I don't know how influential they are to their government there. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah. And the last thing on this topic is that she was a special guest of CPAC, you know, earlier this year. Republicans are celebrating her victory in Italy. It's really dreadful. We'll have Kathy from Ohio calling in, and we're going to get through to her soon. But first, you know, when you call in, say your first name, where you're calling from, and like us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're not anti-social, just anti-cooking. Hello, Kathy from Ohio. Welcome. How are you doing tonight?
I want to say one thing about this election in Italy. I've seen today, I saw today that there was pictures of her with Steve Bannon. And I seem to recall, but I don't know exactly when, after Steve Bannon got booted out of the White House working for Trump, and he was trying to keep a low profile. It was either on 60 Minutes or some tabloid talk show that I saw that Steve Bannon went to Italy.
Yes, he did.
And someplace north of Rome in an old monastery, he started a, quote, school, unquote, to educate people in the Trump doctrine, or his doctrine, whichever, the Roger Stone doctrine. It's all the same thing. It's all fascist. But I do remember that Steve Bannon went to Italy like 3 or 4 years ago, it's been. Well, in enough time to rabble-rouse enough of this backing for this lady, I can't say her last name.
Meloni.
Meloni, yeah. And I just want to know how much, they want to know if the Russians had anything to do with it. I think Steve Bannon and a lot of Americans had more to do with it than the Russians did. Because the Russians they got such a big country to be worried about, and Steve Bannon got his little butt in a wad and ran off to Italy so he could find a place where he could have some influence and control. And they've got a small population compared to us. So a lot of that, I think, had Steve Bannon's little fingerprints all over it.
You're absolutely
right.
You're right.
But there's something else I wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
I cannot, for the life of me. Is this Lori?
This is Lori, yeah.
Yeah. I cannot, for the life of me.
I didn't get to say hi.
I'm sorry? Wrap my head around this QAnon conspiracy stuff that has picked as their purpose in life is they're wanting to where do they call all the Democrats forming a cabal of pedophiles and cannibals? I mean, what rock did somebody turn over and these people come out from underneath?
I think about that every day, Kathy. I don't understand. I mean, we are an educated society, at least I hope.
I thought
and,
we were.
And history tells us that communism and fascism destroys your life. It destroys your well-being. It destroys your family. It destroys your way of living, how much money you can make, who you can talk to, what opinions you have. And this is what they want? Really? That's insane.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Now they can pick those two things, cannibalism and pedophilia, as their flags that they wave, that they're accusing Democrats of this. I think it's just absolutely obnoxious. How can someone's mind even go there?
Kathy, this is how I see it. The blameless, the Democrats, for doing certain things, like having a cabal of Satan-worshipping, gay-loving, LGBTQ-loving people who eat babies, you know, which is so far out and far-fetched. But, you know, things like pedophile and what have you, when you look at it, when the statistics, you find more Republicans, whether U.S. senator or congressperson, getting involved in sex scandals after sex scandals and everything, you know? So it's like they're playing to their base, and everything that goes wrong, they blame Democrats, you know? So, I mean, people starting to begin to wake up to, you know, the foolishness and the rubbish that they have, because Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, who, if the Republicans, God forbid, win the next election for the House, he'll be Speaker of the House. And they came with this contract for America or whatever, something like what Newt Gingrich had. And you know what they had? You know, taking away Medicare, you know, taking away Social Security.
Medicaid, Social Security.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and even though this is what they're for, people still want to vote for them. I can't understand it. They'll be voting against their interests. You know, so it's a whole, I don't know, their base is confused. And, you know, if you're independent these days.
It just confirms my opinion that they're not nearly as smart as I used to give them credit for.
Yeah.
I used to think that the Republicans who were the business owners and so on and so forth, professional people, doctors, lawyers.
No.
I used to think they were so smart, but they have absolutely zero common sense. Absolutely zero. And how their minds can go there to the two worst atrocities that people can think up to do, it's almost laughable.
They're good at gaslighting, but they don't have any solutions to America's problems. You know, the media sound bites by Fox News, you know, like grab the attention of their base and fire up their base and everything. And typically, when there's a midterm election, people don't really go out and vote. But this time it's urgent, it's important. Midterm elections will have to go out and vote on every level because they're taking over school boards right up to the federal level, or cannot have that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But just like Lindsey Graham started on abortion and cut off his nose despite his face, there's a whole lot of women. Hope is going to help a whole lot of women go to the polls in November. I think this QAnon stuff that Trump is backing up, is going to backfire on him too. And Mike, and God, I hope so.
I hope.
I really hope so. I think. I hope it backfires on him, just like Lindsey Graham's little showboating thing, just to get. I don't know if I thought to myself when he came out about that, I thought, well, Lindsey, are you trying to get Democrats elected? That's what I thought immediately. So I'm going to let y'all go. Thanks so much for talking to let me talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, sure.
It was a pleasure having you.
Yes, it was a pleasure, Kathy. I'm glad you called in. Nice talking to you.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. That's Kathleen, Ohio, the great state of Ohio, which J.D. Vance is a Republican, Trump Republican, who's run against, what's his name, Congressman Ted, brain is fried. Last week Trump had a rally and J.D. Vance was there and, you know, Trump had a nerve to say, oh, J.D. Vance, he kisses my ass, you know? You should have seen the look on Vance's face. I mean, why are people scared of Donald Trump? Why are people not grown up and saying, here what, this is our party. You know, they come hijack our party. This is what the movement is about, and you're, like, ruining it with your right-wing fascistic bullshit. But no, you know, here we are, you know, and,
I think things are shrinking for him in a lot of ways. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that Bobart, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Ted Cruz were celebrating the Italian far-right victory, by the way. And, you know, the Lauren Bobart took to Twitter to suggest that the recent European election results show how the entire world is beginning to understand the woke left does nothing but destroy. She added, November 8th is coming soon, and the USA will fix our House and Senate. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene said, she hailed Miss Maloney's win over the weekend, though she misspelled the Italian leader's name, by the way, in a tweet that she was offering congratulations. Miss Maloney's, you know, her incoming into the government is what she was saying. And then Ted Cruz called the results spectacular and posted a video of Miss Maloney's victory speech to Twitter. And his colleague, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, also said the GOP would be standing by to assist Miss Maloney, whose political party traces its roots to the fascist Italian movement founded by the late dictator Benito Mussolini. This is where we are, folks. And he said, congratulations, Maloney, and the winners of the Italian election. We look forward to working with her and other Italian leaders to advance our shared interests. America is stronger when Italy is strong, sovereign, prosperous, and free, he wrote.
I have a question. Yeah. Why is America's far right growing in confidence so much? Because we'll have Donald Trump on his way to prison, and he says if he's indicted, that, you know, war will break out and everything. According to the polls, Democrats in some key races are like 4 or 5 points ahead. That's a statistical death heat. You know, why are they growing such confidence? Because in Florida, do you think because of the election police, they think they have a chance of winning by stealing and intimidating people? What's with the confidence? I don't get that.
It doesn't make sense. And because, you know, in Florida, now that you bring up Florida, Charlie Crist is behind, I think, only 3 points as of today. Mm-hmm. That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a dead heat. So if, you know, if DeSantis thinks that he's going to run away with this, with all his scare tactics, he's not going to. And the stunt that he pulled those migraines was disgusting.
And Val Demings, she is running against incumbent Marco Rubio, the Republican. She's like four or five points ahead of him. She was coming down from double digit behind. And now she's upfront and in front. So that's a good sign. Across country, Raphael Warnock is slightly ahead of the lead. He, I predict, will have a blow because there's no way in hell that Herschel Walker can win. Oh my God! Just picture if Herschel Walker win. Seriously,
I mean, he already admitted that he could not debate because he's not smart enough. I mean, come on. You know, maybe he was a great football player and he got banged in the head too many times. I don't know. But, why is he doing this? It makes no sense.
And speaking of Herschel Walker, we have to remember that he beat the crap out of his ex-wife, threatened to kill her, pulled a gun on her, threatened to shoot her in the head. He had three children outside of wedlock and hid them. It's only when he came running for U.S. Senate that somehow, somewhere, the king said, hey, this is our father. He did nothing for us growing up. And he wants to run the family rallies ticket. Typical Republican behavior. In decency.
Yeah, give me a break. Since we're talking about John Fetterman is outpacing Oz, the crazy man. 49% to 44, within a margin of error of maybe, a couple points. So that's good news there. There also we're growing, we're optimistic about flipping the Senate seat vacated by Senator Pat Toomey. So that's good news as well. So I think we have a chance here. I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it this way.
Yes.
And what about in Nevada? Nevada. Nevada is perhaps Republicans' best chance of flipping a Senate seat, and the state most likely to cost Democrats their majority. We know about Nevada, right? So I'm not holding much hope there. It is what it is, I guess, in Nevada. That state blows my mind. Let's see, who else here? Anybody else, David, that you can think of?
In New Mexico, Georgia. Stacey Abrams. She has a good chance of winning. People seeing right through the governor.
Yes. I think they are basically neck and neck in Georgia. And in Texas, I think Beto is a little bit behind, but he is going to outpace him soon. I feel that. He's all over the place. I mean, Beto is what a campaigner he is. He's been all over the state of Texas, every little darn city, nook and cranny, and he's just full of energy. He was at a college today in Texas, and they were fired up. It was awesome to watch.
I should try to get them on the show. Speaking of Nevada, the current U.S. Senator is a Democrat. She was a 32nd Attorney General for Nevada from 2007 to 2015. Her name is Catherine Marie Cortez Musto. People say she may not win, but a week is a lifetime in politics. And she's a smart, educated woman. She was She was Attorney General of Nevada, as I said. She attended Gonzaga University School of Law. You know, there's a lot of good things about this. And she was the first Latina elected to the upper chamber in the Senate, State Senate. What am I saying? Oh, forgive me. I'm tired. My back killing me. Yeah, but Yeah, so Dean Heller was the person who she beat. He's another Trump Republican. She beat to become U.S. Senator. And she started her term in January 2019. So I give props to anybody who can beat a Trumper. You know, no rights are off yet. A week is a lifetime in politics.
How about Wisconsin? Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes. Ron Johnson won his first two elections in 2010 and 2016, only by single digits, mind you. This year, the Democratic challenger, Mandela Barnes, he's just right behind him. So it's really going to be an interesting race as well. Democrats last month chaired a series of polls showing Barnes outpacing Johnson, but that lead has evaporated, I'm sorry to say. Barnes is leading. He's only leading by 7 points right now. And Johnson is I'm wrong. Johnson is leading by 4 points in the poll today. He was leading. I'm getting myself.
By
Mandela
1 point.
Barnes was,
Mandela Barnes was behind by 1 point. Now it's 4 points behind. The thing is, with that race, you know, the race baiting may happen, you know, where because Mandela Barnes is a black man, you know, a lot of race baiting in typical Republican fashion. The big bad black man, you know, wants to be U.S. Senator for Wisconsin. I mean, the play that's everything, you know, so we'll see how that plays out and everything.
But he's only behind by a few points. That's all it is. I mean,
but the race
card
will be drawn
too
soon. But expect the race card and dirty politics to happen, you know.
Yes, I know.
Because if you remember back when, who was it? The senator from North Carolina. Can't remember the bastard's name now. He's dead and burning in hell.
Did you say North Carolina?
Yes.
And Cherry Beasley.
No. The past U.S. senator.
Oh, Ted Budd, right?
No, my darling. Ted Budd is a current run. He's running currently. I'm talking about the ex-senator who used to be. But anyway, my point being, this black man ran against him and he used a race card and defeated him because the race baited. And, you know, he won re-election, the Republican, because he knew that he was going to get beaten. And issues and policy and what have you. You know, the name slipped me just now, but I just can't remember his name. But Mandela Barnes, he was born in Milwaukee December 1st, 1986, and the son of a public school teacher, a United Auto Worker member. His father's name is Jesse, and his middle name, Mandela, in a tribute to anti-apartheid activist and South African first black president, Nelson Mandela. So Barnes has gone by the middle name since birth. Barnes attended the Redeem Christian Academy in Milwaukee public schools, including John Marshall High, Alabama A&M University. And one of the first things that Barnes said that he was involved in during his college career was the National Association of Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. He also said that Barack Obama's keynote speech at the 2004 Democratic National Convention inspired him to rethink his post-college career path. So thank you to Barack Obama for inspiring this young man to run for U.S. Senate. He was a member of the Wisconsin State Assembly from 2013 to 2017. He represented the state of Sunderland District 11. You can go to his campaign website for Mandela Barnes, and Mandela Barnes' website coming up soon if this computer will bloody hurry up. So Mandela Barnes, his website is mandelabarnes.com. You can get information about what he stands for, what his policies are if he's elected U.S. Senator. You can contribute to him. You could sign up to be a volunteer for his campaign, if you live in North Carolina. And also, the contact number for Dale Hochman Vigil's campaign in New Mexico, District 15, the House race, you could call 505-633-8101. And for more information, go to anewdayfornm.com. And, sign up for the campaign if you're in New Mexico in District 15. Now, these two candidates are young, energetic, full of ideas, bright sparks within the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. They're good Americans, and they'll do well. I see Hochman Vigil going up to a federal level one day, possibly being governor one day. She's that good. She's intelligent. She is a people person. She's one of the first two positives I met when I first moved here from Florida. And the way she worked that room, you'd think it was Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton in that room. She had the everybody there, I don't know how to describe it. You'd have to be there, but, she's a good person. Good person.
You felt comfortable around her.
Yeah. And the thing about it, though, is like when you speak to people, people have a tendency to look away, look down, do every other thing. Yes. But with her, it's like you're the only person in the room when she's talking to you, eye-to-eye contact,
That's beautiful.
And she's
like
strict
that.
About business, What can I do to make your life better? What can I do, to make things better,
That's
it was
awesome.
A good experience. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
she's
sure
a good person.
Was. I'm going to talk a second about Arizona. We have Senator Mark Kelly and Blake Masters. Of course, Blake Masters is a venture capitalist. He received Trump's endorsement, the kiss of death. And he is running against Mark Kelly. The race is considered a possible Republican pickup opportunity, but there are signs of hope that that's unraveling for him. Masters is trailing Kelly by a 12 percent point margin, so let's hope Republicans aren't giving up on the state, but there's a super PAC, of course, that's aligned with McConnell, and they're spending, I take that back. There is a super PAC that is aligned with McConnell that slashed spending in the state because they think it's a toss-up, and they just don't want to put money into that. So that's really good for Mark Kelly. But they're not giving up on the state, but they're not they're not spending money there. So I think that's pretty awesome,
I think Mark Kelly would win because his Republican opponent, when he was running the primary, he says he's for abortion in every circumstances, no matter if the woman is raped through incest or if her life is in danger. He's one of them fundamental right-wing freak shows. And so when he won the primary, within 24 hours, he changed. He scrubbed his webpage, And thank God people out there, took pictures of it saying this is what he stands for. I know he's trying to backtrack. So one of the reasons why Republicans are not putting enough money in there to challenge Mark Kelly. And also Mark Kelly is 12 points ahead. And like I said, a week is a lifetime in politics. We have to keep, digging and marching and moving forward. Mark Kelly, to me, will win his reelection. And speaking of Mark
Kelly,
this is an ad by him, a 30-second ad or a 1-minute ad that he put out recently, and I want people to hear what he has to say.
Marriage is a commitment.
Good morning.
To stand with your partner in sickness and in health, through good times and bad. But you're not thinking about the bad when you fall in love. I feel so lucky to have Mark by my side every day. He has helped me through my darkest moments. He is always fighting for what's right. At war, he flew in combat and then commanded the space shuttle twice. Mark never planned to be a senator, but Mark knows when it's time to serve his family, serve our country, and serve the great state of Arizona.
So damn the torpedoes.
Full speed ahead.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
That was Gabby Giffords, his wife.
And, I love
you know,
her.
She was with him 100%, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one who was shot in the head when that lunatic came. She was up in the rally, and she got shot in the head. Thank God she survived and everything, you know. So
I remember that so well. That was such a tragedy, you know.
Yes,
that was tragic.
She fought through, you know, she's alive still. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, our next Mark Kelly ad, our 30-second ad, here it is.
Arizonans know that Martha McSally will say anything to get elected. Her false attacks against me were desperate and over the top. Now she's doing the same to Mark Kelly. But Martha's worst lies are the ones about her own record. She voted to eliminate protections for pre-existing health conditions. An Arizona senator should be an independent voice that puts everyday people first. That's why I support Mark.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
Yeah, man, that was when you first ran against that crazy person, McSally, and that's John McCain's seat in Arizona. Yeah, I don't know what the hell happening in Arizona, because it's one of the states that, you know, the false electors went in there and tried to take the ballots and tried to take the voting machines.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. Don't keep in prison, goddammit. You know what's going on
here.
I
agree. I know.
Yeah.
We say that every day.
515.
I say it every day.
Yeah, 515. The number to call is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. And I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Laura Picarella is in Michigan. And tonight's topic is A Brave May Fall But Never Yield, Liberty, Truth, and Justice for All. What do you think about, you know, September 28th coming up? We'll have another hearing for January 6th committee. What do you think will come out of that? New things.
Oh, it's going to be a bombshell. I do. So much is going to come out of that that people are going to really understand what happened. I think they're going to connect a lot of dots. I really do. I hope Ginni Thomas her testimony is going to be there as well. But I don't know, and I really don't know, you know, all the details. They haven't said much.
Yeah, she's going to testify. She's going to testify. Yes.
Okay. So. I haven't heard a lot of details, but I honestly can't wait, because it'll be very interesting to see what they come up with. And I think, is this the last hearing? I think it is.
Not sure, but maybe not. And they put to the Justice Department that, you know, Trump and his cohorts who helped them, criminal charges should be sought against Donald Trump and the people who held him. Yeah, because they're trying to upend democracy. They're trying to turn America into another Italy, a fascist Italy. And, you know,
they sure are.
What can I learn about that one?
No. I agree. It just can't happen. we're all fighting for it not to happen. So,
One second, the far right, they can't stop talking about a civil war if and when they lose in November coming up and everything. You know, so some races are so close that, you know, it's 50-50. And if Democrats win, they say, oh, no, you know, we've stolen the vote and, you know, we're going to shoot our way back. You know, they're literally saying they'll shoot away to you know, get the seats and everything. That's instigating violence, and that's not what America is about. And, you know, they could try, but Democrats have our guns still. And I'm not instigating anything. I'm a peaceful person. Well, I'm near pacifist, basically. But, you know, they should stop talking like that. You know, don't follow Trump and his stupidity. Because, you know, I mean, Trump is an idiot. He is just a dumbass and an idiot. You know, that's the only way of describing him.
You know, talking a little bit about, now that we're talking about the January 6th, Mark Meadows, his text revealed that he had direct White House communication with pro-Trump operatives behind plans to seize voting machines. And I think Mark Meadows belongs in prison as well. This is from CNN, and it says, as allies of the then-president Donald Trump made a final push to overturn the election in late December 2020, one of the key operatives behind the effort briefed the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, about his attempts to gain access to voting systems in key battleground states, starting with Arizona and Georgia, according to text messages obtained by CNN. Phil Waldron, an early proponent of various election-related conspiracy theories, texted Meadows on December 23rd that an Arizona judge had dismissed a lawsuit filed by a friendly GOP lawmaker there. The suit demanded that state election officials hand over voting machines and other election equipment as part of the hunt to support evidence on the Trump's baseless claims of voter fraud. In relaying the news to Meadows, Waldron said the decision would allow opponents to engage in delayed tactics, preventing Waldron and his associates from immediately assessing machines. Waldron also characterized Arizona as our lead domino. We were counting on that to start the cascade, referring to similar efforts in states like Georgia. How appalling is that?
Very appalling. When you're reading that, I threw up in my mouth a little bit. That's how bad it was.
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Meadows is a traitor to our country. He is a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
He should be arrested and treated as a traitor, and he should be convicted as a traitor. And, you know, back in the day, they used to hang them in the town square.
Yeah.
I think they need to go back to that. For all these traitors.
Yeah, even shoot
them.
Yeah, even shoot the bastard. Speaking of traitors, before I get this another call, did you know that that fellow in Russia, the one, what's happening to me tonight? The one who burst the secrets and had to flee to Russia. Edward Snowden. He's now a Russian.
Snowden.
By citizenship, and he's joined the Russian army to fight Ukraine. Yeah, so I hope he fucking dies. I hope he dies. Yeah, he's a traitor. I don't care what anybody says. Said it there. Yeah, he's a traitor. And the final thing on Gay Hopeman V. Hill, she's a very bright person. She's an aerospace engineer. So what more could District 50 in New Mexico need?
She's an aerospace engineer.
She's a bright woman. I can see her being president of the United States one day. That's what people need in politics, you know?
You better believe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
People that cannot be bought.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Love this woman. She may win big. Even though it's a conservative district, she's going to win big. Let's get this call. This is Kitchen Politics 123. Hello. What's cooking tonight?
Not much. Just depressed by watching the news. It's disgusting.
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, what's happening in Italy can happen here really easy, and it makes me sick. But I think the hearings, isn't it tomorrow or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I think they're going to have some big bombshells. And I think that'll help the Democrats win when more of this garbage comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still hoping the women are going to go full force and vote.
Oh, they are.
I know. Everybody's pissed. We got to do something, and this is what we can do. And I'm hoping and praying that we will win.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I feel we're going to win because women have taken enough shit from the patriarchy from 1776 right till today, and fought for the right to vote in 1919, got it. And, you know, an idiot like What's-Her-Face from Colorado 3rd District, Boebert, when she was in a debate with her Democratic opponent, the first question he asked, would you get rid of the 19th Amendment? And she's so stupid. She didn't know the 19th Amendment was giving the woman the right to vote. And like, if it's not godly, it's not for God, then yes, repeal it. You know, that's how stupid these Republican candidates are. They're shallow. Oh. They're stupid. They're ignorant. You know, and the crowd booed and laughed, or even our own supporters. You know, so there's hope in Colorado this three.
Well, I can't understand how women, people of color, can even be Republicans for what they stand for. Doesn't make any sense to me. And they're trying to take all our rights away, you know, women's rights. They haven't even passed the ERA. You know how long they've been at that, the Equal Rights Amendment, where women get equal pay for equal work? They haven't passed that in 20 frickin' years. What the hell? We got to get women in there. We got to get Democrats in there. And there's no way we can turn it into an Italy now. No way.
Nope.
No.
I'm just waiting but in bated breath to see what happens in Italy, because that broke my heart today. It really broke my heart. I haven't
talked to my relatives because I got some outside of San Marino. I got them up in Trento. I got them in Florence. And I have a friend in Lago di Como. I got to call them and see what they think.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're flabbergasted.
And, you know, think about this. She was at CPAC. Did you know that? She came with that.
Oh, yeah, I remember I said it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was telling Susie, and she spoke. I mean, that's how far right she is.
And her whole party, that's the fascist group. They said, we are descendants of Mussolini. I said, are you kidding me? And she's got that flame that Mussolini had on his flags, on her flags. I mean, what the hell are these people voting for? I know the young ones don't remember World War II, but the old ones do.
I know.
But
you know, and
I
think the margin was very close, too.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. But I was very sad today about that.
The whole thing, I think, with her started with all the immigrants coming from the Arab countries after, you know, during the war. Iran, mm-hmm. Iraq, and Syria. They were fleeing, mm-hmm. and they went to Italy,
yeah.
and they didn't yeah. want them.
Oh, wow.
And so that was mm-hmm. that's their whole program is we don't want immigrants. And so that's
mm-hmm.
what they won on.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
yes.
sad.
Well, you know, Sousa, you're saying you don't understand why, you know, minorities and women and even gays vote Republican. There's something called
yeah.
the Dunning-Kruger effect or the Dunning-Kruger syndrome, and it's characterized by the inability of some people to be aware of their incompetence and ineptitude. It's a cognitive distortion by which a person who actually has little ability to perform an activity thinks that he has a lot, you know, even more than some experts. You know, that's how that's how stupid they are. You know, it's not
ignorance. I know, because you see some Latinos in Proud Boy. You know, when they showed them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're in Proud Boys, and then you see black people and Latinos. And what was the first thing on the conveyor belt, whatever, that Trump came down and he said, you know, they're all rapists and criminals, remember,
mm-hmm.
right
mm-hmm.
at the beginning mm-hmm. before
yeah.
he even was elected? And,
mm-hmm.
and these people
mm-hmm.
are in the party with him as the leader? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just don't. My mind doesn't wrap around this. You know, if this guy is against you and all
mm-hmm.
these people are against you, why would you vote for them?
I don't know.
Kruger
is it rigged?
You know, it just doesn't make any
mm-hmm.
sense. They're against everything. And women, you know, I can't see why are these women in there. I mean. It doesn't make any sense because they're voting against
mm-hmm.
abortion. And I saw an article, there's
mm-hmm.
other medical things that are this anti-abortion thing. It's not to do with abortion, but it's some of the medication, like for rheumatoid arthritis, but it can
mm-hmm.
also
mm-hmm.
be used as the morning after pill. So old folks can't get the arthritis medicine, you know, or the,
mm-hmm.
or somebody younger
mm-hmm.
can't get it because the doctor's afraid
mm-hmm.
to prescribe it. It's
mm-hmm.
getting worse. I mean, it's like, I don't know, a whirlwind
mm-hmm.
in the sea
but,
and it's just sucking you down.
Yeah, did you know that this couple went on vacation? I don't remember if it was Arizona, some southwestern state. Was it Arizona? I think it was, but not sure. They went to CVS or Walgreens, whichever it was, and she, you know, ordered a box of condoms and, you know, and birth control. And the guy there didn't want to give her because it's against his religion. No, this woman is married, wants to have relations with her husband. And a stupid pharmacist or whoever, or technician or whoever, didn't want to give her the condoms and the birth control. I mean, this is how sick these people are. You know, when you're in Christianity, there's no critical
thinking.
I heard
that one. Didn't they go to lawsuit or it was out, you know, big stink about it?
Yeah, lawsuit.
Yeah, they don't want
lawsuit.
Abortions, but they won't give you contraception. And that's the next thing. That the Supreme Court
uh-huh.
is going to do with Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to
mm-hmm.
not have contraception where you can get it free in Europe. They give it to you so you don't have kids
mm-hmm.
you don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, they're banning books in Indiana, in Arkansas, in the southern states, in the Bible Belt, you know, Texas. Oh, the change even some of the textbooks to read, oh, you know, slaves weren't shackled, but they came as guests. You know, shit
the
like that.
The Kill a Mockingbird?
I mean,
give me a break. We've been reading that since it was written in 1940-something. Everybody's read
yes,
that
exactly.
book. What's so bad about that?
Exactly.
It's the truth. It's
guess,
fiction. But it happened, you know.
Yeah, the thing with that is because it touched on their fragility. That, you know, they think that, oh, geez, I think this way or, you know, I feel this way about certain things. So it's hurting my feelings. I need a safe space, you know. But then we get
yeah,
to it because
they say the Holocaust didn't happen, you know, just like
mm-hmm.
that asshole said that those kids weren't shot, you know, the InfoWar guy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
how can people believe this crap? I don't understand.
Yeah, don't include Gray
there's
Fox.
A lot I don't understand.
Trust me.
There's a lot we don't understand.
Yeah, no one to believe.
You know.
And DeSantis in Florida, you know, the Miami Herald today, you wrote this this article saying that he flirted or is flirting with Christian white nationalism. No, he isn't. He's full-on embraced them like Trump has and the QAnon movement. We're conspiracy theorists and, you know, and flat earthers and whoever, you know, the fringe of society who, you know, usually are laughed at. And everything they said, debunked, you know, Trump and DeSantis and MAGA Republicans follow these people. And it's scary because, like I said on the top of the show, these people are running from school board right up to the federal level. And we cannot, must not allow them to be in these positions of power, especially the Secretary of States who certified elections in different states.
Exactly.
We cannot have it because democracy is fragile and it'll be over before we even reach 2024. I can't reiterate that enough.
I know.
You're exactly right. It's just disgusting. Not appalling, disgusting. Makes me puke.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recognize our country. I mean, I grew up during the riots in Detroit and L.A., you know, in the 60s. I mean, that was horrible. But I have visions of that and worse happening. I remember driving down 8 Mile, and there wasn't a car on the road, and here I saw the Army, you know, the National Guard in their Jeeps with machine guns on there.
Yeah.
I'm going, what the hell? You know, it was just awful. It was this creepy feeling, and if this crap keeps on going on, we're going to see more of this stuff. You know, Trump didn't like his generals because they told him, no, you can't do what you want to do.
I wanted to bring up something. Last week we had that gentleman call in, and he was talking about
sex education in schools
that was being teased. He was from Minnesota and he was very upset about two books, and one was called Gender Queer and one was called Lawn Boy. And I did look them up and I did a little bit of research, and the books are basically memoirs, but what they would be used for. And they are not in the curriculum. Teachers are not teaching them in the classroom. They are available, like if you want to buy it online, or I'm sure that maybe some of them had them in their libraries, but I am sure there's not tons of copies. And what it is it just goes on to explain, they're just stories, and they go on to explain how they're discovering their sexuality and how they're dealing with the changes that they have coming in their lives, and how they can express themselves. And so these books are kind of like it's experience of what they had gone through, and it's just to try to help someone else and to show them that, look, I did it, you can do it. Now the thing is, in the books that parents were really upset about is that there was some nudity in there and some things in there that they found offensive. That I do admit to, and I did see that, and I'm not sure that I feel really good about that. The graphic,
but it is an elementary school book.
They were more middle school to high school. But I'm just saying, you know, this is why the parents got really upset and angry, were because of the graphics.
But it wasn't taught in school.
No, it was not taught in school. And that's what I'm trying to express right now.
It's in the public library, it's up to the kids to get it. It's not.
Exactly. Right. And it's not part of any curriculum. You know, teachers do not say, hey, we're going to talk about You're going to read Gender Queer tonight, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow, because they do not do that. So I just wanted to reiterate that a lot of the stuff
teachers are blamed for that isn't even true.
Right.
And then you wonder why they don't want to teach, and we got shortages.
Right. You know the old story is, you know, a rumor starts as, hey, I just dyed my hair half red. And then the next person will say, hey, did you hear Lori dyed her hair half red and orange? And then the next person will say, you follow what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
So stories get added on and they get misconstrued, and people forget what they heard from the person that they spoke to before that. And so they just add their little ad lib to it. And so, you know, and maybe that's what that gentleman, you know, that was part of his problem, that he really didn't, you know, grasp
the book or have his kids bring them home. He heard about
right.
it.
Exactly.
And he didn't have his facts straight.
Exactly. So that's all I'm trying to say. So, but the books are there. They are graphic, but they
it's
are
like
not
the critical race
in
theory.
School.
That's a
yeah.
law school class.
Mm-hmm.
In college
right. yeah.
for law
yeah.
students.
Yeah.
It isn't even talked mm-hmm. about in high school or elementary.
No.
But they
no.
twisted that up really good.
Yes, exactly.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
all right,
so,
Susan, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, have a good night, you guys.
You too,
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Yeah, that's Susan from Michigan and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I found that
mm-hmm.
tip of Georgie, whatever her name is, Meloni, new prime minister
yeah.
of Italy. It's a two-minute thing, a clip, the CPAC convention 2022. Here it is.
Yeah.
Gosh, it went on for 11 minutes, but I say play 2 minutes.
Okay.
All these things. And the good news is that here, as in Europe, more and more people are choosing to react. Our family is under attack. The education of our children is under attack. In front of this, people understand that in this age, the only way of being rebels is to preserve what we are. The only way of being rebels is to be conservative. We're going to say it loud. We're not going to care about the labels they stick upon us. We'll not give up. The true America will not give up. We will be awakening many more like ourselves, and there will always be more of us. They will try to take everything away from us, but they can't take away who we are. And
Flashes.
You know what? Cherishing who we are, fires will be kindled to testify that 2 and 2 makes 4. Swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in summer. The time of that battle has come, but they will find us ready for the battle. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so that's the prime minister-elect of
yeah.
Italy, Giorgia Meloni, the CPAC 2022 convention. She was a highlight speaker and everything. The world has gone to shit.
Yeah.
Brazil has a right wing in there. Panama has a right wing in there. Italy now has a right winger. God forbid Trump come back in 2024, some lunatic like DeSantis and well, hey, you know, if Trump, you know, was in there once, I mean, who the hell?
I'm not going there. I won't go there. I won't even put that thought in my mind because it can't happen. I'm betting on the women in this country, and I'm betting on the Gen Z, the first time voters. Their energy is striking. If people do not get out and vote, if they just go, oh, well, my vote doesn't count, my voice means nothing, They're going to really find out what their voice means, nothing. How it will really affect their lives. And maybe, maybe somebody needs that. I don't know. All I know is that, you know, we have to win this midterm election and get rid of all these rotten apples. These evil people have to go. The list is getting longer and longer every single day. And I want to talk a minute about Matt Gaetz, because that man is another one, another silver spoon in the mouth, spoiled, entitled piece of shit that is not going to, more than likely, he's not going to face charges, you know, in the investigation. It's been long running. We've been all waiting. I've been waiting, you know, because he alleged sex trafficked 17-year-olds across state lines. And prosecutors have recommended against charging Gaetz in the sex trafficking probe to the senior Justice Department officials, the Washington Post reported, citing sources familiar with the matter. The prosecutors reportedly made the recommendation in part due to credibility questions with two central witnesses. What does that sound like to you? Credibility.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Listen, Bill, what's his name? Guess that is one of the millionaires and very rich.
Yes.
So maybe he, you know, drop some money here and there, you know, to get, you know, Stunny Boy out of problems. But
I know.
Yeah, because
that's exactly my point. It's exactly my point, you know. And he's got that shit-eating grin on his face all the time. Like, look at me. He got away with it. I'm sorry. I believe he probably did it. With a 17-year-old girl. I mean, or more than one girl. But, you know, he's 40 years old, for God's sake. You know?
Yeah.
It's just wrong, you know.
Yeah. And it, you know, this goes to show you that, you know, when you have, this goes to show you when you have money in this country, you're above the law. You know, there's one set of laws for rich people and, you know, everybody else, you know. If a regular Joe Schmo did that, he's actually been in prison waiting trial and more likely be found guilty. And if he came out, you know, he'd be registered a sex offender. But no, no, Matt Gaetz, no. The golden boy, you know?
Yeah, he's
above the law.
Silver spoon.
That'd bail him out.
Shove it up here. He can choke on a silver spoon. And, you know, he's arrogant. I've watched him, you know, when he speaks, he's an arrogant SOB who thinks that he is something else. And the other thing I thought about was, you know, these 17-year-old girls, you know, they may have even been scared to death. You know what I'm saying? They were maybe scared to death by,
yes, indeed.
You know, by the questions and, you know, just made afraid, threatened maybe.
I know.
Put none of that past. You know?
Yeah, Joel Greenberg was the tax collector in Seminole County, and he gave evidence against Matt Gaetz because he was the second guy involved in this sex thing with taking, you know, little 17-year-olds across the border to have sex with them, you know, paying them to have sex and what have you. You know, see, so I guess he's a fall guy because he doesn't have a rich daddy like Matt Gaetz does. But yet still, Matt Gaetz and his peers in the Republican Party running on family values. Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, family values. God, I don't want to curse. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert. I don't want to curse tonight, but God, these people make more curse, make more drink. I'm red stripes, you know, in the fridge there waiting on me.
I know.
These people annoy the crap out of me. It's real.
Love
you. Real. These people.
Yeah. Oh, and also, you know, we're talking about sexual assault, so I'm going to talk about one more, and this is a the sexual assault investigation against former GOP lawmaker turned over to the Michigan Attorney General. The Michigan State Police 9-month sexual assault and financial misconduct investigation into former House Speaker Lee Chatfield has concluded and has been turned over to the Attorney General. Chatfield, who was Michigan's youngest ever speaker when he was elected to the position in 2018, served until 2020. He is accused of sexually assaulting his sister-in-law for more than a decade, starting when she was a child, but has denied the allegations, characterizing the relationship as a sensual affair.
Sensual, wow.
Sensual.
With a 13-year-old?
Yes.
With a 13-year-old, that's disgusting.
Years. It went on for years. And you know what? Something else I will tell you about him. Mm-hmm. His father is a preacher in a Christian church, by the way, and he is also serves in the church as a Christian and has all these wonderful values, you know. But part of his values are not, I guess, you know, because he's a Christian, he can, you know, he can rape basically his sister-in-law for 10 years. And he was, you know, and he was married at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's getting
13, sensual relationship with a 13-year-old. I'm still at that. I'm sorry. 13-year-old, sensual.
Yes.
What is happening? Oh, my God. Oh.
And this is, by the way. Yeah. It's, you know. So Dana Nessel, who is our attorney general, is going to be taking up this case. And I love her to death. So, you know, Rebecca Chatfield, who is now 26 years old, said the assaults began when she was about 14 as a student at Burke Lakes Northern Michigan Christian Academy and continued until July of 2021. Lee Chatfield was a teacher, a coach, and an athletic director at the school before taking office in 2014. He is married with 5 children, by the way. And Rebecca is married to Lee Chatfield's brother, Aaron Chatfield, who has supported her and her alleged allegations. I mean, wow. Let's see about his wife. Among the interviews are those Rebecca Chatfield, Aaron Chatfield, Lee Chatfield's brother, Paul, and Lee Chatfield's wife, Stephanie. Lee Chatfield reportedly declined to interview with the police, but his lawyer responded via email to some questions from investigators. I mean, oh my God, this is just sick. And he was Speaker of the House, by the way. And he was a nasty man. He was a nasty speaker. He spoke bad about the governor. He put her down at every single chance he could, you know, could get. And I hope he goes to freaking prison.
Yeah, which I doubt will happen because, like I said, rich and the wealthy are above the law, it seems.
This is a family affair. We'll see.
Yeah, well, you know, if Trump, for example, dog a prison for what he did, it's inescapable prison term for him for what he did.
But we're talking Dana Nessel. She is one tough bird. She takes no crap from no one. And that's why they want to get rid of her, because she takes no crap from no one. And she is, she goes by the book, and she's smart, and she will get reelected.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned Ed Snowden earlier today. The guy from WikiLeaks. He's another son of a bitch who needs to be behind bars. And Trump. Those three.
Yeah.
No, he's not in Russia. He's in Britain now, awaiting trial.
Oh, okay.
Ed Snowden is in Russia. He's joined the Russian army. He's not a Russian citizen. I'm talking about the guy from WikiLeaks now, Julian Assange. He's awaiting trial in Britain.
Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Yes,
I misunderstood.
So these two plus Trump need to face justice for what they did to the United States of America. And the whole can of worms that they open, you know, because... It's dreadful. I mean, those documents still missing from Mar-a-Lago. Where are they? Did he send it to Russia, to China? Who? you know?
Yeah.
You have to pay. You have to pay for what you did, Donald Trump. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think
so.
Do you
think? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just said I think he will eventually pay, but what were you going to ask me?
Do you think, you know, Christian nationalism will take over American politics in the next decade, or do you think it's like a fly-by-night thing where, you know, if and when Democrats win 2024, it'll die?
I think it's a fly-by-night thing because young people are not into religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say it again. Young people are not into religion. They're not into it at all. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't say 100%, but I can say that they're really not into it. Not like back in the day where you were forced to go to catechism and, go to confession and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen mm-hmm. anymore. And I really think that that they have basically shown their stripes as far as what they're trying to do as far as pushing Christianity in a wrong sense. And they show that they don't help people. I mean, I'm not saying all Christians are bad because there are good Christians mm-hmm. and there are good people in every religion. But I'm just saying that they are not, families are not forcing their kids to go to church or go to a Christian
mm-hmm.
church. I don't think they're doing mm-hmm. it like they used to. For many reasons. I think a lot of them are busy. They're into sports. They're into different things. They're into their hobbies. Their weekends are busy. And I don't think that's on the top of their list anymore. That's
mm-hmm.
just my
mm-hmm.
opinion.
Yeah. So listen to the speech, floor speech. It was last month that this congressman gave this floor speech. It was on white Christian nationalism. Is the 2 minute speech segment when you're in the house, you have a 2 minute speech to give. And mm-hmm. this was him. We'll discuss it afterwards.
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to bring attention to a dangerous ideology threatening our democracy. White Christian nationalism. Most members of Congress don't even know what it means, but experts from the Freedom from Religion Foundation and the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty have studied it for years. And their new report shows this movement was at the heart of the January 6th insurrection. White Christian nationalism fuses Christianity with a rigid view of civic life, a view that true Americans are white, native-born, and conservative. On January 6th, it was the connective tissue that tied disparate groups together and propelled them to action. It's infecting our government, from members of Congress and top officials in the previous administration to the wife of a Supreme Court justice whose messages to the president's chief of staff leading up to the insurrection smacked of white Christian nationalism. Thankfully, good Americans, people of faith, and nonbelievers are standing up to this violent ideology. I call on members of Congress to educate themselves about white Christian nationalism and reaffirm the separation of church and state. I yield back.
That was Congressman Jared Huffman. And that his 2 minute speech was about why nationalism, Christian nationalism, is a danger to America and politics, you know. And yeah, it's a bad state of affairs when, you know, Christians.
It is a danger. It is a danger because there, as we know, you know, Trump was able to brainwash how many millions of people. And sure, I mean, you can be brainwashed as a Christian if you don't go to a, you know, an upstanding Christian church, because we know that there are those that are now not upstanding, and they're there just to make money and get donations, you know. And I'm not saying that all, like I said, I am not saying that all Christian churches are like that. I have gone to Christian churches through the years, and I have fed the homeless. I've done it all. So they do help people in communities, but there are some you just have to know when there's a snake in, you know, involved, when there's something going on. You have to have that feel. You know, and in my own experience, when I was going to the Christian church, I felt uncomfortable sometimes because I felt like they were pushing buttons, and people would stand up and they would, you know, just kind of cheer because they would hear things, and I was confused by it. So, but the part that I liked for myself is when we fed the homeless, which I would go and do almost every week. And they were the most grateful people. And that was my part of Christianity. That is what I think Christianity is. It's not about politics. It's helping.
And it's about doing what Jesus said you should do as Christians.
Yeah.
You know? And what these quote-unquote Christians are doing, you know, they're turning back immigrants, they're calling them rapists, murderers, whoever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Trump words, but they basically believe that crap, you know? And
I'm sure they do.
Donald Trump is so superficial that when he was running for president, I asked him, quote a Bible scripture that, you know, inspire. And he couldn't say one Christian Bible passage. You know, and you want, and he has three different wives, and had children from three different wives. Imagine if it was Barack Obama, how they chastise them. You know,
and not only
so
that,
the hypocrisy.
Do you remember when he held the Bible upside down?
Yes, and autographing Bibles and everything. I mean,
that's
good
hysterical.
Lord have mercy!
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
You think you're watching Saturday Night Live, you know, some skit on Saturday Night Live. They're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
do you think DeSantis is going to face a storm here because of what he did? You know.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Set up a police force, election police force. That's the staff of,
you know, right, the migrants to
he's being sued already. A lawsuit's been filed
I mean, I'm hoping he meets his maker on that, because what he did to those people was just so wrong. I mean, it did backfire on him because, you know, going to Martha's Vineyard there had open arms there, but he lied to them. And, you know, didn't care. He didn't give a shit about those people. And if you're a governor, when you give a shit about people because you don't think that they're worthy, then you don't belong anywhere in government.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Exactly.
You belong
straight
in a hole. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, and there's extremist religious leaders who mix Trump with Christian nationalism and saying Trump basically is the second coming of Christ. And if you don't pay taxes, you're tax exempt because you're a church. If you speak politics, then the tax exemption should be removed. You know? I mean, it's disgraceful. Imagine, I don't know, this country going to hell in a handbasket. First of all, we weren't a Christian nation. We weren't formed on Christianity or any deity. You know, Thomas Jefferson and the forefathers made sure they left, you know, Christianity and any religion free from religion and the Constitution. The Bible not even mentioned once in the Constitution, but yet still Bobart and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, the child molester, and whoever else in the Republican Party, you know, saying, oh, we're a Christian nation, we need to go back to, you know, the fundamentals of Christianity, go back to basics. No, you idiot, shut the fuck up. We weren't a Christian nation. We'll never be a Christian nation. This nation was founded on blood and war. They killed the Indians, the Native Americans. They brought slaves here, murdered them for the most part. You know, when the Italians came, they treated them like garbage. When the Irish came, they treated them like garbage. So everybody get their little fair share of treatment. You get what I'm saying? No, it's a Mexicans going through crap and other immigrants from other countries. But this is not a Christian nation. It never will be a Christian nation.
No.
We need to get off
we were not founded on Christianity. We were not founded on Christianity. Absolutely not. You know? Like I said, you know, it's an easy cop out, you know, to use, you know, Jesus for, you know, to make you feel like you're doing something right or wrong. It's a good cop out, you know.
Yeah.
And when I think
of growing up, they have this holy evangelical attitude about them.
Yeah.
Like, oh yes, you know, Christian is right, every other religion is wrong. You know, screw you.
Right.
The hell with you.
You know, when I was growing up, you know, I was forced to go to Catholics, you know, Catholic church and school, et cetera. And, you know, I looked at Jesus as a hippie. And that's why I thought he was cool, because he reminded me of a hippie. He reminded me of a liberal, you know, a bleeding heart liberal at that, because he just liked helping people. So I thought he was cool. So that, you know, but as I grew up, you know, of course, and I still feel that way, but I don't use it against people, and I don't, you know, it's just something that I learned in my life. So I just thought he was a cool person, whoever he was. He was cool, you know. I want to talk 1 second about Mitch McConnell. He thinks that Christian cinema is the most effective first-term senator. He's seen and praises her because of her defense of the filibuster. Does that make you want to vomit?
Yeah, definitely. She's just a Democrat in name only.
Yeah, she is. She's definitely... Yeah, absolutely. He, you know, just today he said in his remarks that, he praised her, Democratic Senator Kristen Sinema of Arizona. You know, he said that she's the most effective first-term senator he's seen in his 37 years in his upper chamber. Future of political discourse and the importance of bipartisanship. Oh, please, Mr. McConnell. And she said, I've only known
her for years. Yeah, she's basically selling out the people of Arizona. She's a sellout, basically. She and Joe Manchin. But we'll get these 4 seats we need in the U.S. Senate. We won't need them again. They'll all be kingmakers because they'll have no power and have no say and no committee chairmanship. So to have a Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin.
Exactly.
You know,
I thought was mentioning puke.
Yes.
You know.
Definitely. 25 minutes to go, and happy Rosh Hashanah, and happy we'll have Rosh Hashanah first, and then, oh, yeah, today's Daughter's Day as well. Yes, happy Daughter's Day to all daughters over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish holiday, and Yom Kippur is afterwards. I think Yom Kippur this year is October 4th and 5th, so... Jews out there, fellow Jews and Israeli Jews, much love and respect on these two holidays and everything. Yeah. Yeah, take a little musical interlude and come back. We'll have 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, man, we're back with Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
And Laurie Picka in Michigan.
Yes, man, we're talking about the Brave May Fall But Never Yield, Liberty, Truth, and Justice for All. Do you think that the mega-rich people, the wealthy people in this country are above the law? Because we've seen now Donald Trump, even though he has done several misdeeds and broke many laws, he's still out and about making his Nazi Nuremberg speeches around the country. What are your thoughts on that?
That really bothers me that after everything that we have learned since January the 6th, that he is still allowed, because of our freedom of speech, and he's not been charged with anything, that he's allowed to go and spread lies and hate and no accountability for it. It really bothers me on a daily basis. So yeah, in a way, I do believe that if you are rich and in that elite society, that you have privilege. I do believe that for sure. Look at Matt Gaetz. We talked about that. That's another example of eliteness and privilege. I do. I mean, his son, Eric Trump, you know, he was just in Michigan, you know, with Tudor Dixon, the crazy lady, you know, and talks all these lies and, you know, waving the American flag. It's appalling. You know, they think they're untouchable. You know, when you talk about the mafia back in the day, that's what they were. They felt untouchable. They felt that they, you know, were above the law, that they were not going to get caught, that they were not going to go to prison. They could, you know, put hits on everyone. And, you know, so, yeah, I do believe the law is double standards when it comes to the rich and middle class and the poor. Yes, I do.
Exactly. And that's why people turn off against politics, because, you know, from Nixon right now until today, it's that Republicans say one thing, do another thing, but yet still people vote for them because of people like Fox News on there. You know? Fox News is entertainment. It's not a news station, not credible. But yet still, you know, Fox News. You know, does it bother people that the American flag has been co-opted by Republicans? It pissed me the fuck off. How about you? You know?
Oh. You better believe it. Sure does piss me off. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Not fair. You know? But I just don't know how, you know, and the other thing that really irritates me is that, you know, the whole Trump family has a secret service around them 24/7, you know, and he flies with his service and, you know, and his limos, he's got the Secret Service. It's disgusting. It is just just disgusting to see, you know, and he, that fist in the air makes me want to vomit. And yeah, it's not right. Something has to happen, because if not, what about the next person that comes up? I mean, will they be worse than him? I don't know if there's anyone, if that's a possibility, but, you know, it's always possible.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis is next. It could be an interesting time in the Republican primary coming up to the 2024 election. You know, kind of the kooks out there. Who else besides, you know, Satan and Trump? Well, there is Ted Cruz from Texas, Mike Pence, the former vice president. Who else? Marjorie Taylor Greene you know, illusions of grandeur. She may run for president on a Republican nomination. Sarah Palin, even though she lost, at large seat in what a place name, Alaska. You know, so there are a lot of kooks out there on that side.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, Joe Biden going to run for a second term, he'll win. You know, but look on our side, we'll have more brighter people, energetic younger people, Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg, the transport secretary. He'd make a good president.
Oh, you know, yes, first gay
president.
Him.
I like all that song. Hell, you know.
Yeah, I love Pete.
So
he's awesome. Yeah. He's and you know, he is very articulate. He is.
He speaks seven languages.
He's probably a genius. You know.
Yeah, he is. A person who speaks seven languages, yeah, he's a genius. Come on,
yeah,
bro.
He's definitely a genius. And,
plus
I'm
American
saying,
Sign Language, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get at is that, but he's down to earth as well. You know, he's down to earth as well. So it's not like he, you know, talks above people. He, you know, and he can put people in their place pretty well, and he does it intelligently. Better believe it, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
He's great. I would like to see him, but do you think do you think that America is ready for somebody, you know,
a gay man?
Yeah,
we're ready for a female president. We're ready for a gay president. We're ready for an Asian president, you know. Oh, let's go already.
I don't know if America is, the mainstream maybe.
Yeah, so you are
but
ready.
Then, you know.
If Italy can elect a female prime minister, and Britain just recently elected their third female prime minister, what's taking America so long? Why are we always late, you know? Dan Hopeman. V. Hill would make a great president one day. You know, she's after all a aerospace engineer. You know, what's more qualified than that? You know, political experience. You know, and then an aerospace engineer. Yeah, that's a big thing right there. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You
better.
Yeah. Yes,
you know he. He blasted Texas Republicans on handling of the migrants and the LGBTQ rights. He was at a Texas Tribune Festival, and he said the efforts of Greg Abbott and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in sending migrants to Democrat-led cities are hurting people in order to get attention. He went on to say that for sending migrants en masse to Democrat-led cities, accusing the Republican governors of using vulnerable people to call attention to themselves. And he went on to say, obviously, there are issues with the border and with migration. But he also said these are kinds of stunts you see from people you don't have a solution. He said that more than 11,000 migrants were bused to cities, including Washington, D.C., New York, Chicago. DeSantis followed suit last week when the state of Florida paid, the state of Florida paid to fly migrants to Texas. I mean, and it is, it's a stunt for, I don't know who they're.
Well, they're playing up to the bases. They're playing up to the bases.
Right.
They're trying to get the base vote in midterm. Yeah. That's who they're playing up to.
Yeah. And in the meantime, they don't care that they're hurting families that, you know, are only coming here for asylum because they have no place else to go. And that is appalling within itself. And then they have to come here. They don't know the language, and they're lied to and put on buses or planes or trains and sent to different cities. Can you imagine being a young child, 12, 10 years old, and put on a bus or a plane, and you land, you don't know where the hell you are. You don't know how to speak the language. You're scared to death. That is traumatic. And cool.
Yeah, even think about being a baby, being ripped away from your mother and put in cages. That's what the Republican Party is about. They don't give a damn.
Yeah.
But yet still, yeah, they're family values. They're pro-life, Yeah, okay, Republicans. We're going to see you in November in 2022. We're going to whoop your asses.
Exactly.
Just watch. On every level. School board, state house, state senate, governorships, U.S. Senate, U.S. House. We're going to bust your asses. Because Joe Biden has signed into law different things. The Democratic Senate has been working. The Nancy Pelosi in the House has been working well, passing laws. And everything that would benefit America, Republicans vote against. That's
working day and night.
Yes, man.
You know?
Yeah. And I need to make it known that requesting asylum is not illegal anywhere in the world. You know, people come from different countries, Spanish-speaking countries, you know, war-torn countries, whatever. And I just want a new, fresh start in life. America is a bastion of hope, you know. And, you know, most of these people, not criminals, you know. And yet the Republicans villainize them from Trump down, villainize these people.
Right.
And the base of the Republican Party have the nerve to say, oh, they're coming to steal great American jobs. So let me ask the Republican voters out there. Will you go out there in the fields of Florida and pick orange or fruit? Will you go into California and pick grapes? Don't do it. But yet still they're taking great American jobs. That's the Republican Party hypocrisy.
Will
you clean
hotel
rooms? No. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the laundry that comes from the hotel rooms. I mean, think about it. You know, when I you know, vacation and I go into a hotel, you know, I look around and I think, oh, somebody cleaned this room. And, you know, and then you start, and I just start to think, oh, geez, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to keep hundreds of hotel rooms clean because you know how people are. And, you know, the garbage that they put in them and the things that they do in them. And, the average American won't do that job. I guarantee it.
Exactly.
And a lot of them are immigrants that do that job.
They even wore bus tables. That's how lazy some Americans are. When I used to live in Panama City Beach, for example, and I worked at Wicked Wheel, you know, one of the biggest places in Panama City Beach, you know, you wouldn't, within 2 weeks or less, if it's a white American, you know, come there to work, they quit. Why? Because the job too hard. You have immigrants, you know, from China, from Jamaica, from Ukraine, Russia, wherever, come and work our asses off, you know, no matter how hard the job is. You know, we're hustling.
Yeah.
But Americans, nah. Like, oh, no, you know, that job is below me, you know. I won't bus tables. I won't be a cook. You know, I won't be a server. I won't be a greeter, you know. And I'm above that. Yeah. And, $13 an hour? No. I need, like, $17 an hour. You know, things like that. You know, it's like this big, great sense of entitlement. You know? It's ridiculous.
Yes, there is. there is a generation that they are entitled because of how they were raised in this country. I do agree with that. But I also think that the minimum wage should be at least $15 an hour. That I do. No matter who you are, I believe that's what it should be. That's a minimum because statistics are showing now that $24 an hour in order to live a halfway decent life is what you need in this country. So, you know, so yeah. So people don't want to do hotel jobs because they don't get paid very well.
Yeah.
And so that has to change.
Maybe we can
squeeze
in one more call. Oh, no, the person hung up. I guess we're waiting too long. We have 9.5 minutes left. The person is waiting too long. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So now, sorry about that person. You can call back before 9 minutes if you want. So last thing, though, Dan Hookman, she is, I keep saying from the top of the show, a great state rep. She's up for re-election in District 15 in New Mexico. Her committee assignments in 2019-2020, she was a House Judiciary Committee. She was on State Government Elections and Indian Affairs Committee. In 2021-2022, her assignments on committees is Agriculture and Water Resource Committee, Appropriations and Finance Committee. As I said, she's awesome and everything. And you could go to her campaign website, which is anewdayfornm.com. If you live in New Mexico in Bernalillo County, you can volunteer, sign up to be a volunteer and everything. And to quote State Representative Hookman Fihill, quote, "I will always stand up for New Mexico hardworking families. I will fight to make health care more affordable, protect those with pre-existing conditions, and work tirelessly to get New Mexico's economies back on track." You know, so, and who can beat an aerospace engineer? You know, there's not many women in that field to begin with. So,
Pete
Buttigieg, she's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant person. You know, donate $25, $50, $100 or more to her campaign. And the website, again, is anewdayfornm.com. Yes, I can see her being the governor of the state one day. She's for giving people health care. She's a good leader. She's for education and for educating kids. She's about, you know, strengthening the economy and getting better jobs. You know, so contact them. The email info is info@anewdayfornm.com. And the campaign telephone number is 505-633-8101. So, you know, check her out, man. Anywhere from the country, donate to her campaign because she has been doing good for New Mexico.
Absolutely.
Yes, man.
Very
good. All right. So
I hope she's
No hope she wins. She's going to win, damn it. She's going to win. Yeah, there's no hope she wins. She will win. Okay,
well,
so now it's time to wrap up. Final thoughts, Lori.
Well, our final thoughts are we have, what, 43 days left here in where I am, our districts. Brian Jay has got a tough fight. Carmel Linga, who is on our show, he's in District 10. He seems like he's in pretty good shape. He's going against John James, but their ads are brutal. There's a couple ads that are horrible. So it's going to be tough here. My district has been red for 20 years, so I'm hoping that, you know, the abortion issue, the pro-choice issue wins. Proposal 3 needs to win in Michigan. You have to vote yes on 3. So, and just vote blue. And just vote blue. That's all I can say. All the way down
vote
the ticket.
Blue right down the line. Exactly.
Yes, all the way
Right down to dog catcher.
Yeah, right down to dog catcher. That's a good one. Absolutely
Exactly.
Love that.
And my final thought is that, you know, Democrats are different from Republicans. They've showed it. They've proven it by the bills mm-hmm. that they've passed with the help of no Republicans. Yeah. Joe Biden says he's going to do something. He's doing it. He has signed laws to help students with debt relief, to help immigration, to help elderly Americans, to help mm-hmm. everybody. He's not just president for Democrats, but president of America. Unlike the orange bastard, the rat bastard, Donald Trump, who will soon be in prison, thank God. Knock on wood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his three grown children that deserve to be in prison. We could just end this sordid shit of American history and put it behind us, because Donald Trump is not going anywhere in 2024 but prison. You know? We need to do better than voting for these Republicans, because I don't give one iota about you. And if you don't make $500,000 or more, or have a millionaire or billionaire, and if you don't have billions in the bank, trust me, the Republicans don't care about you. You know?
Nope.
And
they
women will come out, the millennials will come out, the Generation X's and the baby boomers will come out and vote overwhelmingly Democrat. From school board right up to federal level. Gretchen Whitmer, Big Gretch, we're there for you. We're going to fight. We're going to win in Michigan.
Yep.
Dana Nestor, Benson.
Yep.
You know, Michelle Grisham. Michelle Grisham in New Mexico, the governor. We're going to kick ass, man. That's all I got to say. All right, so till Thursday coming up, we'll have a new next show. It's already booked and everything. I hope you can join us then. There, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics 1-2-3 for Monday, September 26, 2022. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night.
Good night. And this is Lori Picka in Michigan. I want to thank everyone for sharing, for calling, for listening, for joining our Kitchen Politics page. We had a bunch of people sign up today. So we're moving forward. Everyone have a good evening. Thank you. Bye now.
Happy Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Thank you.
I'm